The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't fence corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So, we are going to deal with all those questions. Let's just go straight into it. Amen.
Amen.
Please, Daddy, how do you handle a brother who is always billing you unnecessarily? For example, come and buy this for me. Send me money. I want to buy this, but my money is not complete. Most times, the requests are not really urgent or most or important matters. This brother does not like to give but likes to ask. Should I continue to give? Or refuses a request sometimes.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mama, Mommy, and everyone. We're just going to try to just speak to it straight. We have said here before that when you have somebody with a pester you like that, there's need for you to tell your pastor. Not because you are reporting that person. It's not an attitude that we welcome in our community. Everybody who's doing that know that it's wrong. But then some people have that attitude. They will never buy what their money can cover. It will always remain something to complete. It's 10 naira, but they have 7 naira. It's always like that every time. Some are like that, people are like that. He says, so this is. He says, so this is. I've never desired what is in their pocket. Either before they go there or when they get there. As they are pricing it, the one they will choose will be the one higher than their money. And you have followed him to that place, you are in trouble. So, if you have such person, please let your pastor know so we can call that person to order. I always say that you don't have to give such order all the time. Listen to your spirit and know when you are supposed to help. Much more that is as common a habit. If it's a small person, respectfully deny the person. If it's somebody that your friend, once in a while, call him to order. Spend your money. Buy what you can afford. Live within your means. Once in a while. Also, when you feel your spirit, you stretch out, respond. So there's no fast rule about it. It's about your spirit. But such person needs to be helped or be saved. If you are able to respond to keep giving and giving and giving and giving, you are not helping him. He will keep doing the same. He will never feel one day is wrong. He doesn't have that thing in his soul, that caution. He doesn't have it. Uh-huh. So such person, you can't say one day will change. It's not going to change. As he's doing to you, he's doing to 10 other people. So you are the only one who has spoken now. Thank you very much.
A hand for Daddy, please. So, we move on to the next one. Mommy taught us extensively on giving and receiving during June TPP. The Bible also said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20:35. This means receiving is also a blessing, but giving is more. Our parents and grandparents exemplified this life to us. No matter how little we give, they still receive it and appreciate it as if we have done something more. But some of us, brethren, as much as the law of giving and receiving is prospering amidst us, still don't have a good attitude, that's heart posture, towards receiving.
Receiving, okay.
We like to give even when it is not convenient, but when others give us, we try to explain how we don't need it. What we have planned to do, even when it is evident that we are in need of that thing. Some may later receive it, and some don't receive it at all, making the person who gave it feel bad. Some of us are freer asking our family or colleagues for money than to ask a brother when we don't have. To give, we feel amidst brethren, but when we are in need, we'll rather ask a family member or colleague. Whether we have or not, why don't we often like receiving? If everyone is giving and not much has a good heart posture towards receiving, how do we prosper by this law? Even grace has its law, sir.
Okay, thank you. Some of us have different attitudes that we grew up with. Some they are used to helping people. They don't see why we should help them. Because all their life, they grew up serving. So such conscience feel like, I owe everybody and nobody holds me. So when you meet them, they are not being bad people. It's just a conscience of their training. Why some people also not receiving is a kind of pride to them. It's a pride. That's the way they feel above you. They feel when they get from you, they are coming under you. Some have that kind of conscience and program. So it's a learning. As we teach or learn how to give, you also learn how to receive. This receiving is not like the other first question. Okay? This is somebody who sees that you are in need of something and they feel like stretching to you. And you should learn to receive. Even if it does not meet the quality of what you expect. Receive it with thanksgiving at worst. Give somebody who can afford it. I mean, who can use it. Yes. It's more in need of it. If you feel it doesn't match up with what you want, maybe you want a shoe and the kind of shoe you use and that shoe he gave to you does not in your person. It doesn't fit to whatever. Receive with thanksgiving. There's somebody who need it and who can use it. So give it out. Paul, I have learned what to abandon that base. And Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. So it means that if you are giving, you are answering a higher law. But receiving also is important. You have to be humble to receive. And you have to teach yourself, train yourself to receive and say thank you. So a good thank you is as heavy in their mouth like stone. And for not saying thank you, and learn to say thank you not one time. Thank you again. Many times. Yes. To be thankful of the heart is a symbol that it doesn't come out once. So when you receive, you learn to say thank you. And that way, it programs you well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. A hand for Daddy, please. Yeah. I struggle with opening up to people, whether my parents, pastor, brethren, close family members, because I noticed that most of the time, the way the conversation goes does not go well. After I tell them what's in my mind, they assume a lot of other things without first asking to be sure. Then based on the assumption, they judge me immediately. So most of the time, I feel misunderstood. Also, imagine you want to talk about how much it's been a struggle to make money, and you just want to rant, and you need an empathetic listener and some empathetic advice. Then after hearing you talk, the person starts with, when I was 24, I stopped collecting money from my parents, and innocently starts making you feel stupid. Over the years, I've kept things to myself because I'm afraid of responses and being misunderstood. I'd rather ask ChatGPT now. How can one open up freely without letting these things discourage you?
So from the rank of the people you listed now, there's nobody that has ever understood you. So you already have a problem with your personality. Yes, sir. Nobody ever understood you. And I'm not sure God will understand you. Only you. Yes, only you. So there's a way you like people to... There's an attitude you want that is not redemptive. You want the pity party thing, doth pity with you, and not open you to things you ought to have done. You don't like to be corrected. You don't like to hear your inadequacy. And that's one thing. You should be ready for that. If it is not working in your hands, there are many reasons why it's not working. So you are not the one who knows why it's not working. That business I did, I just know the problem I had there. I will correct next time. You are not humble. That thing you think is the problem may not be even the problem. May not be. So when something is not working, you need to look for every means to find out how to solve it. That means you will listen to both old and young. Some of them will correct you. Some of them will lambast you. It's part of your training process. Rebuke, reproof. Instruct. So if you can't stand to be reproved, then you have a problem. If when the person says it does not make sense as much, you still listen. It's part of your training process. So, bro, come back to church and align with your brethren, okay? Start with your brethren to talk with them and let them talk to you. And be ready to hear what you're not doing well. That will extend, not even your pastor. Even your parents, nobody's getting it right. Don't you know that you're already on the verge? There was someone that walked in Akure. And the last time we got there, we were laughing. Joshua knows the person. And Kevin was there. He fights like nobody can correct him. Before you correct him, he knows two things, the way to solve it. And the problem is not being solved. In one of the days, he was supposed to bring down a pillar. And the pillar was what he's supposed to do that day. From morning till around 4 o'clock, that pillar was not coming down. They have told him what to do. He knows the best. He's always, I look at him and say, I said the wife of this man is in trouble. I'm not pitying anybody, I'm pitying the wife. By 4 o'clock, somebody had to come after they have told him what to do and came and did what he should do, just put a chisel on one and eat it and weaken the pillar. And it started giving up. When he saw it cheap enough, he's then now believe he can walk. In 1 hour, that pillar came down. 1 hour. And has been on it since morning before. Some of us are like that one. And it is business that actually exposes you. If you're sorry, Anna, whatever goes, it's like Nigerian system, goes there. You get it. When you're in business, it doesn't work like that. You have to apply everything you need to apply to make things work. So there are lots you need to learn to get things work. And some of them can come simply, can come through correction, can come through reproof. You can come by listening to others. Say, go to aunt and learn. People are still coming to you to come and talk to you now. You are complaining. What of go to aunt? What is an aunt to you? Aunt is insignificant. Go to an aunt. So you want to hear from every person and see wisdom in what they are saying. Even if it comes through a packet of jargons. That's how to be a wise man. Thank you very much.
Wow. Thank you, Daddy. We used to say those times, eternal life has answered for everything. Let's go on. Please, I need clarity on savings and investment. With the teachings in the past weeks about God's kind of wealth and toiling to be wealthy, I am confused on if I should leave the area of savings and investment in creating financial wealth. Please, what are your thoughts on how believers are to go about savings and investments in creating financial wealth?
I think the last business tip, okay, I think it can do that. If you don't have savings, how will you create wealth? Yeah, it is small that you put together that makes something tangible that you can put somewhere. And like I always said, that what to earn that does not involve compulsory billing, like house, like NEPA, all of that, you should adjust to ensure you have savings. Something must remain in what you earn. That's discipline. If it's 5,000, it's the beginning of training. Don't say I earn small and not 1,000 remain. There's something you could have avoided to make 1,000 remain. If you don't have the 1,000, you will survive. And 1,012, that's the worst state. In 12 months, that's 12,000 error. It's making small sense. That is in the least estate. So discipline of service is a must for everybody. You must learn it. To put the money somewhere where you will not touch it. I'm not saying when you will save half of your salary, when the salary is not enough to. Some people can save, or somebody is sitting and feel like, don't die, can I help you? And it's so because it's time to save beyond what you can save. That's another area of life that is selfish. But discipline of saving is important because you got to invest. Maybe along the line again, we're going to talk about this investment because I feel that we need to know that creating wealth is a must understanding. Wealth does not appear from anywhere. I give you power to get wealth. Power, that power is a wisdom, sir. And it's not one Holy Ghost that would send upon you, no. It's the wisdom. Because wealth involves a lot of intricacies. I feel we'll talk about it before the end of this year, by God's grace. But I think this bit can be a little bit helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Daddy, for these teachings and words on the act of giving. We really need them. I don't know if it's just in Ondo here, but I don't think it's general. Parents have not formed the habit of appreciating their children or what teachers or caregivers, no matter how little. This kind of gestures and attitude go a long way. Please, is this how it's always done, and why is it? not appreciating children caregivers.
Children caregivers and teachers. Okay. You start from Mondo here. Mondos are stingy. Generally, they are stingy, so they don't give. And strangers who join them also lend their way. So Ondo is it's not a good example to explain anything that has to do with giving. I think God is helping you to break free from that clutch. You have to overgrow that spirit in the city here. But I think they do that more in other places. People come to appreciate the teachers, caregivers, and sisterly. Not in church, not even in church now. Even in their schools. In their schools, yes, you see your children teacher, and if you appreciate a teacher at intervals, because what the teacher is imputing to the child is more than what you think is meant paid for. Yes, and just like the Bible says, those who teach, even spiritually, you're supposed to communicate to them. You communicate to them. And God is the first teacher. And when you sow into teaching, it's the way you get something good back. And so we have to develop it. All of us have children in schools, in secondary school. You know, after this our VS, a parent came to live in and bought a lot of things for teachers. But that's one parent out of many. So you can imagine if you have 10 parents doing that, the children are motivated. They are happy. Because generally in a nation, teachers are not well paid. Are underpaid. And the enormous work they put in, I tell you, is Lord. Talking and controlling children is not easy. It's not easy. And somewhere there, I think we should, for me, truly speaking, if I have my way, I will pay teachers than what anybody can. If I'm in government and I have such access to funds. In many nations, the best of their children become teachers. In places like Finland, the first best goes to teachers, second best go to medicals, third best go to engineering. That's how they rank it. Yes. So they can have the best. So when you see those who instruct in their classes, this best brain. So if a teacher is teaching your child and is passing, no be small. To make it a child pass. I tell you, you come to school, we admit you with 35%. And the child end up having credit in the subject. So much has to be done. Because 35 entry has tendency of coming down. Yeah. If a child has 90, for example, from primary school, he will come down and get to secondary school. Even when he's going to have A will be 70. That's the way it is. So for it to cross to go up, amazingly many of the parents are unthankful. They will be wanting A for a child who came in without 5. Unthankful. The child does jump, so above 200. So much has been done for a 35% child to score 200 in jump. So we should be thankful. We are ungrateful people. Always complaining. That's why we don't see reason to appreciate people. We are always complaining. Sometimes we'll be in the meeting there. It is complaint. You will not see a parent will say, "Sir, Ekushebi, thank you for what you are doing." You see our children are changing. 1 out of 30. When they come into a meeting, they arm themselves with armor. I said they want to come and fight. I said to manage school, anybody who manage school work can govern a state. Because if you come to the hospital, you are weak. You are at the doctor's discretion. Whatever he tells you, you do. But school is the public place where people are agile and their brain are alive. The children are coming from school, they are taking, they have licked lollipop. Their sugar levels have gone up. They are bouncing like here. Upper aggressive. The parents also, where they are drunk with all manner of complaints. So it's one of the most terrible community to manage. Let's appreciate our teachers very well, please. Teachers, school owners, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. So let's
go back home and rethink and do something for the end of the term. If your parents here, if you just two soap tablet, go and send to your teacher in school, the teacher in school, as a sign that you have heard what I said now. Thank you.
Okay, that is, please, what happens in a situation where there's a policy in the school not to receive gift?
Not to receive gift, then that's quite different. You can send to the principal now, not to the personal teacher. Send to school authority, they will know what to do with it. No school authority will say it doesn't know what to receive gift. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. Okay, should a man and a woman run corporate account? I do not believe in it because my husband seems to favor his family in every situation and want to attend to all their needs first, despite having older ones. He believes the family depends on him.
There's a lot of problem in this place. The problem comes from the fact that, number one, you are not seeing the two families as one. As one, you and your husband has not come to a point to accept that we have to take care of the two families, and their need is not the same need. It's not the same need. You saw his family when you married him. I know what to do. He has a lot of young ones who are still in the junior class. He's the firstborn among five. You knew it. You accepted the proposal. You are the last born in your own family. So it's never. So that's why we have to sit down and discuss. In your family, they are where to do. Two of them are abroad. These are all of them are in Nigeria. Three of them are not employed. So because there's no open space to talk in that relationship, your husband is placed on skill on you. Because he will still have to respond to the demand that are on him one way or the other one. So I feel that the first thing is that create an atmosphere where you can talk together really. Talk together really and let's see the way these things are and see how do we take care of the two. It can't be equal. This hand, the way they have made this hand. So when you are talking about equality, you are not fair. You're not understanding. It's never that way. But we should take care of all of them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. 1 Corinthians 11:4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. If covering means being under authority, kindly explain what this verse means. Why would he say that a man having his head covered dishonors his head, since the head of man is Christ? Thank you, sir.
Okay. It's a spiritual thing reflected in the cultural matter. Head covering there is veiling. So in culture where women veil, men don't veil. That's cover. It's not head gear. It's not head scarf. Okay? So when you understand what that means in that context, you can understand this scripture more easily. That the fact that a woman is covered means that a woman must be under authority. Either married or unmarried. If it's not married, it's under the authority of the father. And it must have a symbol of that in that cultural structure, which is not to this structure, right? So the man should not have his head veiled as a symbol that is the one who is responsible to take care or to cover for the woman. I think you know what I'm saying now? He should not have his head covered. So it's not the head, it's not just Christ's head. He should not have his head veiled because it's a sign. If he veils himself, he's also saying that I'm a woman. I'm under somebody. So it's a domestic structure. Though Christ becomes the head of the man if he's a believer. But even without Christ here, in that structure, those who are in that structure are not all Christians. So in that context, the man should not be covered. Can you see what I'm saying now? And because it's the glory of God, it's the image of God, and it's meant to carry authority over the home. So it's more on home system, so more on societal structure, which also reflect in the mystery of Christ. Christ being the head of the man. See, I'm saying now? So being the head of the man, Christ being the head means that the man can look up to Christ straight. But the woman under the home cannot do that. He has to look up to the husband. And by that, he needs to cover. Or he needs to stay under authority, which is a sign that is under the husband or under a man's duty of covering. Okay, so when he's saying that the head of the man is Christ here, you are quickly merging the societal structure with Christian culture. I don't quickly merge it yet. They are two different things. But it's only saying that if nature says that, how much more the spiritual order? Okay? That's nature. That's why the woman is allowed to have long hair. as a sign that it should be undercover. Naturally, the woman's hair is longer. Even if you leave your own hair as a man, the woman of your kind will have a longer hair than you. Which also is a sign that nature has already put a woman to be under, as it were, as a covering. Yes, but the man is not covered. The hair of the man has a way of growing up more easily than falling down like the woman. Okay, so explain nature, explain culture, explain Christ's mystery. All together confirms that. So please, I think that place is important. Many people come around there, there's just some of our ladies open there. They are not using a scarf. Scarf is not a Bible doctrine. Church brought it in along the line. And it's not correct. Okay? Church, you know, there are many things that we can't see how church was. Early church was. Church we've met on ground. All the church we've met today began less than 100 years ago. All of them. Deeper Life, Redeem, Winners, all of them. And they're the picture of church today. Church has been on earth thousands of years before them. Okay? So what they portrayed is not enough to depict exactly what God has in mind. And that's why when you are in your bedroom and you are praying, do you cover your head? Or you don't pray in your bedroom? You pray everywhere. Men ought to pray everywhere. And there are times in your life that you don't have the chance of having a scarf. So don't carry a speaker on your head. Or a cat or a stool. You don't need to punish yourself. It doesn't add anything to your prayer. Prayer is spiritual. It flows from your spirit to your heart to God. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you also. Thank you, God. It's prayer. Do you know that?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. It's prayer. So it's not... No, that's not... Thank you, Jesus. It's prayer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. And Daddy also said to us, you don't have to go to the mountain for God to hear you.
Yeah.
You can pray in your room. Yeah. And even in your house, some people say we have a special corner. Mm. My corner. It doesn't matter. God is everywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Please, what is the meaning of feel and full?
Full.
Then fulfill. I understand that the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost. While in Acts 6, Peter was asking for those who are full of the Holy Ghost. I want to understand whether full is for the soul, whether feel is for the spirit, or the terms feel and full are talking about which part of man. There is a word like fulfill about Jesus. I want to understand it, please.
Your grammar is too much.
Jesus filled the six jars of water, and the disciples were praying, and the disciples when praying were filled with the spirit again. So is it the soul or the spirit? Is it the soul or the spirit? What level is full? It's just feel, full, fulfill. What are they speaking about?
Okay, so remove the fulfill from the place, okay? Feel, full, it's not fulfilled. It's just talking about the mayor and the fullness of a state as shown in Christ. You know, the Holy Ghost word is also Christ's word. That's the beginning of Christ. And what you call the meek of the word is Christ's word. And when it's the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, that does not mean you are full of the whole Holy Ghost. There's an Holy Ghost that is given out as meek. That Holy Ghost, you can be filled with it at the moment. And you are actually commanded to be filled with the Spirit. You're supposed to use the Holy Ghost to know how to keep being filled with the Spirit. Because you can use it. As you are using it, you deplete it, you need to refill. So you see that when they pray, when they have issues, they are persecuted, they come and pray, and they are filled with the Holy Ghost. And they are filled. So even during the day, we are supposed to learn, not only when you come to pray, we are supposed to learn to be, because that's commandment from Ephesians chapter 4, but be filled. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So, filled with the Spirit. It's filled with the Spirit. So we are supposed to learn to constantly fill with the Spirit. But as you learn to constantly fill with the Spirit, nature of the Spirit also is developed within you. In that nature, you can have full of that nature. Okay, so being filled with the Spirit is a training to being full of the Spirit. When you use that over and over and over and over and over and over, the character of the Spirit of that nature of that is formed. And that's what you see in Acts 6 concerning the deacons there. He told them, those who are full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, they are all attribute of the life that is filled with the Spirit. And so I think, that's it too. Fulfill is completion of a circle. It's when a circle is completed and it's to be to fruit. You say it's fulfilled. I think now, when you learn Christ, when you learn the Spirit, the fulfilled is when the nature of the Spirit is formed. Are we in the house, please? When somebody becomes full of the Holy Ghost, that is a baby Christ. That's a formation, baby Christ. Then from there, you learn Christ, and Christ is formed. The hope of Christ is fulfilled. So fulfillment is the completion of a process of righteousness. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. Fulfillment or process of righteousness. Yeah. Let's take note of that. Yeah. I have someone who is close to me but don't want to go to church because the pastor told him that all the trouble he's going through is as a result of him going to church. That his way is serving idol like his father. Note, he was never born again when going to church. He was actually going to church because he was encouraged to always go, as that is where safety is. Because of his challenge, he does not believe anyone again. How do you think salvation can reach such?
When you meet the backup pastors, the pastors are backup pastors because they were never raised by Christ. Yes, pastors who became pastor by themselves. So you can see them when they pray like Babalawo. When you see them, when they talk, they were never raised. They will go and learn Yoruba Oshun, Yoruba Oyo. I see that's the language that God hears. See, all of that, they are all around us. So they don't know the life of God. They don't know the promise of God's life. They never had the experience, and they can't give it to somebody else. That's why you will tell him that. So you can see he's a cultural pastor. And this man can even be mixing some issue with this one. And they can say that, oh, because they are also diviners. They are diviners. So they can't break to the word of Christ. They are in the world of destiny. Anyama, ale anyama. Ole anyama. What's anyama? Anyama is destiny on the earth here. They don't know predestination. So they only have Jesus and Bible along with what they do. The philosophy of their lifestyle is the philosophy of the world there. And people like them, they subscribe to them. But they talk to their nature. They talk to their fallen nature. They talk to their tradition. They talk to their culture. So when you hear them, like sometimes when you hear this program on radio, in really IE, for example, it will be looking as if, that man just into the art a young address to become a pastor. God is saying it's making sense to you as a Yoruba person. And it's not making sense to you as a Christ. You can't talk to your Christ. You can only talk to your cultural person. So you should know that you are cultural in a way there. When you are hearing it, it will make sense to you. You must quickly connect to your Christ nature. Or else, you fall from grace. And fall to culture. The Spirit will take you up there and deal more with you. So this person needs to really meet the gospel afresh. I know if he meets the gospel, you say, what can be done? Let him meet the gospel afresh. Let sent agent meet him and talk to him. He will know that he has never been to church, really speaking. He has not been to church. He's just going to a venue, a gathering on Sunday, or a building that has a location. He is not part of the church. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. And also, some people on radio, pastors on radio, they just come up like that and say, everybody listening to me this afternoon, you will not lose your children. And then everybody will say amen. You know, it will take grace for you not to say amen.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who he's speaking. It could be an herbalist.
Yeah.
So let's also connect our Christ nature in such situations. Please, I need clear judgment on this. I'm a single sister and go to church with some of my sisters. I'm always not at ease when I see that I'm running late to church for any meeting. So I tend to hasten my sister or walk faster than them when we are going to church late for no necessary reason. Most times for lack of time management. Sometimes I also want to check if it's not also impatience, because my sisters give me this feeling of becoming down. And I'm like, if you have a job interview, will you be catwalking there when you know you're already late? Please, sir, Mars, I need a check on this. None of the reasons for going late is related to health issues or anything reasonable, as it were.
Okay, so can see that you and your sisters are not on the same lane. Those ones are Jelenke people. Nothing is pursuing them, they are pursuing nothing. If nothing is pursuing them, if nothing is pursuing you, then you are pursuing nothing. So they're not going for anything. They're just church members who just want to. Are you a little good looking? Are you a little good looking? The bro will say, pray at Tiboju. For them, they take their time, they relax. So you have to talk with them and let them know that if they keep maintaining that, you will leave them at home. They will meet you up in church. Don't let them give you a conscience of feeling that yours is too much. Let it be too much. If it's lateness, let it be too much. If it's lateness, so let it be too much. Tell them to improve. Tell them to catch up. Tell them you try to bear them a little bit. But they also have to improve. You have to see a sign. They're not just keeping on their own lane. They can bear them a little bit. But if they keep on doing that, please tell them, you'll meet me in church. And really, we're going to meet in church. So I think that's the way to handle that kind of thing. Thank you very much. Husband and wife, husband and wife, yes. That is some of the problem there. So if your wife or your husband is the one, your husband will not bait until everybody's ready. In the morning, he can be watching boxing. A World Cup. The one he missed yesterday is watching the review today. I want to see the highlight. I want to finish the highlight before he leaves home in the morning. And because it's your husband, you are trying to manage him. Please find a way to expose him to leadership. Some husbands, you see, I say, when you have husband and wife who agree that nobody else will come to our midst, you will die inside the house. But men are the one who bait women to that thing. Sweetheart, God is going to help us. We can let's take care of ourselves. Let's not allow third party. He's just telling you how to kill you. So when you see a man who's saying that, say, we don't have third party, we have Jesus and leadership with us. So let's not count those people as third party. Please, for us to survive, I beg you. So that you can be comfortable to know that Pastor Alfred will know about this. When Pastor Alfred calls him and he's talking about it, it won't feel strange. Men, many men, many men, men. Okunrin. You know when the car engine spoiled, so men are like that one. You know what it takes to push a grounded car? Nobody, no effort pushes them. You know you are not doing well. And that's why we're talking about the house churches. You're not going to be a good example to your children. You are praying for them, but you are already cursing them by that example. Yes. You are cursing them. You must brace up to be an example to your children so that the blessing of God can rest on them and they can be better than you. They should not go through the accident of your life. They should escape it. Amen. And so, please, woman, don't enter into agreement with that kind of man. Oh. Tell your lead pastor or any pastor you feel can reach to him. And let's see that he improves on that. And if it's the woman, also do the same. So women, their makeup, ordinary makeup. Now, 1 hour. One just makeup. When they enter between to go and bait, you want to feel that, are they scrubbing their body? That one is women. They must bait for 35 minutes. Wash everything, wash their knee, wash everything. They take their slippers, wash their slippers. Yes? And set everything, set everything, set. Not, they must set everything the way they want to set it. For the come into that bedroom. So when you are like that one, you are not looking cleaner than all of us in this place. That screen you are scrubbing is in your brain. It's not your body, it's in your brain. Nothing is wrong with your body. Yes. Sometimes when your woman doesn't bathe for 5 days, if there's no dust, why are you bathing for? Africa is the one that is bathing every day. Because we live in very hot weather. Morning and night. And all of that is not cleanliness. So somewhere there, it's more with ladies who are, I'm sorry to say, sorry, on those ladies, it's more problem to them. I find you, Paul, when you have this area, I find you, and Delta, sorry, if you belong to those two tribes. Sorry. They are finicky. They are the cleanest, nothing meets their standard. You are a problem to all of us. So come to church and begin to mix up with church. Even in church, you will pick your friend. You pick the classy ones that your friends. Other ones. You need to be safe from your extra pettiness. So do church well. Mix up with more people. You see that those things will reduce a little bit. Do you know that those who are clean always have more infection than those who are not clean? So nature is not really, nature does not want to be very unclean. Does also ask for too much clean. Best foods are fermented foods. What did I say? Best food are fermented food. And they are unclean food. Iru is unclean food. Ogri is unclean food. Yogurt is unclean food. Garri is, they are all unclean foods. When you made them raw, they were clean. You have to leave them to be unclean to be okay. Some people cannot take water if they have not brought their mouth. But your gut has millions of bacteria. Gut. Go for. Amen. So just fear hygiene, okay? That's okay. If it's not really fouling smell, that's okay. And you can quickly just do that. So that your body can have enough immunity. And not catch disease easily and die quickly. Amen. Say, that fine woman here just died. It's too clean. Yes. It doesn't press or it doesn't touch, it doesn't stop anything. It doesn't stop anything. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. Okay. Sir, apart from praying for our daddies and pastors as a church, is it wrong to pray for our pastors as an individual via call, text, WhatsApp, status, or physically on their birthday or other celebrations? When I say prayer, I meant prayer, not just God bless you, sir. If it is wrong, will secret place be the only acceptable place to pray for them? And if it is right, is any kind of prayer, more like the prayer we do pray for our brethren, acceptable for them, or there is a manner to which we are to pray for them physically?
There's a manner. Water does not run up, it runs down. So you pray for them in your closet, and you appreciate them on the birthday with gift, not with prayer. The less is blessed of the greater. Okay? When they need prayer, they know who to go to. Not you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So let's take note of that. I'm learning how to overlook things my brethren do that do not seem okay to me, because I'm also not perfect and based on understanding of the law of Christ as well. However, I must be honest, Ma, some sisters are quite dirty and scattered, even with the use of personal items. Mm. The amazing part is, no matter how polite one's approach is, they tend to just flare up or misunderstand. As a result, I sometimes see things that I would rather not talk about because of how it might be wrongly interpreted. Mm. Some of my sisters, too, are just plain lazy and often want to hide under the guise of we are all brethren to escape chores assigned to them. Mommy, I will appreciate wisdom on how to handle this.
So, mommy, they already put mommy there. So that has already arrested me. So give it to mommy. They put mommy. Mommy.
Good morning, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think this one has to do with people staying together. Because if you are alone, you won't say this. And it's necessary for us to stay together to help ourselves. Mm-hmm. Some of us are naturally lazy, and laziness needs to be dealt with. And some of us are over. You don't know how to bear people. You know, you are touchy. You are in the extreme. Both of them are not good. Now, what this will help us to do is, if you are lazy, when your brethren are telling you this thing is not good, live up to it and change the attitude. Don't feel like, that's me, just accept me like that. Because a woman, you have a lot of chores that is still going to hang on your head. When you are staying with somebody, somebody is still sharing the chores with you. When you are living alone, you will do it by yourself, alone. So, when you are staying with somebody, learn to do things. I tell people, there was somebody I asked, I said, do you do house chores? She said, yes, what is given to me? I said, go beyond that.
Yeah.
Take initiative and do those things that are not primarily given to you to show that, okay, this is the house. You pass by a place and something is not well placed. Pick it up. You don't need to be told to pick it before you pick it, because the maintenance of the old house depends on we women. So when you are lazy, you are spoken to, please change. Don't feel like, take me like that. We are brethren. You complain too much. Something is wrong with you. You must learn to change, and then also learn to bear with people. Some people are not as finicky as you are. Everything must be pa, pa, pa. It's not like that. Life is much more than that. In a relationship, you learn to move with people, change what is not good. Also, if you are doing it too much, also change and feel like, because you don't even know who you are going to marry. Even the man, as he's coming, he's scattering the whole house. So what happens to you? Are you going to kill yourself? You have to learn to bear. No, God has a way of putting us together so that we can be balanced. You won't be lazy. You won't be overburdened. So the whole place, at the end, you are okay. We are fine. Now, I tell people, see, if you're a woman, if you're not too conscious, you can walk throughout the whole day. You won't leave the house and you won't rest. And you won't finish the house chores. So learn to move your hands from finishing. When you do it to a particular point and you are kind of tired, go and rest. It is your house. Second day you continue. Nobody is coming to mark you. I say this place is clean 100%. But you must learn to be clean. Don't be dirty. Don't hide behind, Achebe is my own thing. So we need a place of balancing so that you won't overburden yourself, you won't underburden yourself. House chores are plenty. Learn to manage it. When you are sharing with people, don't hide. When you are giving an house chore to do, people should not be asking you, have you done your work? Have you done this? No. There should not be any shout. When you are giving house chores, do it. When it's changed, like in my house, now they rotate out chores. So when they change your own, go and do whatever they say you should do. When you're supposed to cook, they shouldn't be looking for you outside and be calling you, brother Jimmy, sure you won't come and cook. Or sister, no. Do your things. The thing is laid out. Let's do it as it's laid out. Because as you are doing that, you are helping yourself. Because one day, it will be you and your husband and your children. And we might not even send any sister to you. You face your choice yourself. So if you have not learned it now, you can't learn it then. So any opportunity that we have, we should use it very well to make sure that we are well raised. And at the end, it will be for our own good. Because something you have not learned to do, when you now want to do it, it will weaken your body. Because your body is not used to it. So learn how to walk. To walk is not work. Being involved in work does not kill anybody. It only makes you stronger. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. I remember Pastor Alfred's quote, when you walk, work does not walk back at you. So walk. Don't be lazy. And if you are the walking type, don't complain. Just go ahead and do it. You are helping yourself. Keep walking. Okay, let's go on. I want to ask Daddy and Mommy, Olabode especially.
Okay, I can do that for us now.
That how were they able to accept this life despite the demand? How were they able to live this life at the initial stage of the understanding of this message? In simple terms, what was their conviction to keep going in this part of life despite all life must have thrown at them? To help those of us that love this message and want to live the life as we should, even when it seems not easy or tiring. I wouldn't mind if the pastors also can share theirs to help. How easy was it to forsake all to submit? What kept you all going? How? Everlasting question.
And you answer for all of us. Okay. It's the same faith in the heart. It's what you do with faith. That means your journey. All of us have the same heart to believe. And when you use your heart to believe, and you feed your belief over time with believing more, you will have conviction. You know, you have conviction. But if you don't feel your heart with believing more, you just find that you're going to be unstable. So if there's nobody who actually had it like perfect in life. It's like all of us grew as children who learned to walk. But when a child is trying to learn to walk, it's for that stage. It doesn't look odd. And so if you are responding to your age in the spirit with the same infirmity, you're not going to look odd. It's when you're supposed to walk and you're not walking. That's when there's concern. You have not been feeling well. You have not been learning well. You have not been learning the gospel. You have not been obeying the gospel. So what you obey, the same program, is the same Christ in us. Christ in Paul is the Christ in you. Paul does not have it more than you. It's the same Christ. Uh-huh. So it's your response to it, our response to it, that determines how much we master it. If you learn any job on earth here, the way you apply your heart to it determines how much you know. If you are into mechanic work and fashion work, all of that, even when you have the instinct, you don't labor. You don't labor. We are praying. We are praying for this 1 week now. You have missed 3 days. But some people, to miss 1 day to them is like they are dying. Attitudes. But you also know you should not miss it, but you just don't just care. And you give excuses for whatever your spiritual responsibility, you give excuses for it. And so those things will keep you down. By experience of keeping you down while you are in the race, make you feel that you can be so weak all the time. See, you know what I'm saying? When you always calm down many times, your conscience or your heart believes that the journey is not easy. But if you do assignment at the right time, you're always passing. You also have the experience that you can always pass. That's the way it is. So walk in a way that can guarantee that your end will be okay. The Bible will say, someone does not know how to cry. When he wants to mourn, he will be crying from a long distance. So you know that if he gets to that place, even when he's trying to cry, don't cry. The cry will not come out in 1 hour. And that I've counted him on how he wish. So when he's coming 1 hour away, will have been crying. So labor more, labor early, and you have the same experience. We all learn to pray. Pray. Nobody find prayer easy. Nobody will say, when I start praying, I was just enjoy prayer. Nobody. You discipline yourself to stay and pray. But sometimes you'll be looking at the clock. 15 minutes. You look at the Only 5 minutes has gone. Makalibre hashkatali. Yes. You thought you have gone 1 hour. Mea talabahase. You have to sometimes just turn your face and just say, I won't look at you. Makalibre hashkatali. That's how everybody begins. So don't say, one super giant, but they won't be, this boot doing it. No. It's faith school. And faith is hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you hear, and to hear again, you have to believe not to hear again. Uh-huh. And that's how growth happens. So nobody has it more than the other person. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. I easily get confused, conflicted, and sometimes don't easily quickly understand simple day-to-day issues and conversations. I discovered it was because I had not yet understood who I was and the world around me. But since coming to the house, it has reduced to a great degree just by relating with brethren and following doctrine. Yet somewhere there, I don't know if this could be connected to daddy teaching on mental health. I still am sometimes confused and conflicted on many matters. It's like my mind is always moving and changing directions in what is right and what isn't, what it wants and how it perceives things. Like, it is constantly switching sides. So it often makes it difficult for me to share my thoughts and sometimes ask questions. It makes me feel unstable, like my mind is betraying me. Please help me.
Okay. So there are people on that class. It's not only you, there are people like that one. Conscience or mind does not quickly accept something real. Have I seen it? I've not seen it. Is it like that? Is it not like that? Always like that one. Uncertain. Uncertain. Even to talk to you, they're not sure what they're going to say. And when they say it, it's making sense. But they say, can I say it? I don't think I have to say it. I don't want them to just see my fault. So that of your conscience, you know, it's weak, so you need to strengthen your conscience. And that's the way to do it, is just to have a group of friends that will understand you and tell them, this is my challenge. They can encourage you to speak and put them on to you, want to hear you on this matter. And you will talk. If they think they want to correct you, and they will correct you on it, all of that. But you keep on talking and keep on seeing that you also have a reasoning. Huh? You are also reasoning. You are not empty upstairs. And those who are talking are also angels from anywhere. Even if they can't talk, you listen to them and say, wow, I wish I can talk like this. You also can't talk. If you don't start from that kind of level to start with, you have also an idea. Don't let somebody who has this knowledge intimidate you. Mm-hmm. And they were sharing the talents. They didn't share this. No? Equally now. They all got talents. So you have something in you. So develop that boldness to know that you are not empty. And find people who can hear you, even with whatever you feel is your fault. Or inadequacies. Find those people and let them know that this is your challenge. They will help you more until you have boldness and confidence. Not confidence in the flesh, confidence in what God has done in you. Nobody is born zero. Nobody. When you even think that you have lots of inadequacies and none of that, there's still something about you that you don't know. And when you find it out, you're going to find that thing can overshadow all the other things you feel are not there. That's how God has made us. So, or else, we say God has made a mistake. So in making any one of us, even when the devil attack you, God still will keep secret in you that the devil cannot touch. So you just need somebody who can locate it and bring it out. And you will find out, wow, only one thing is serving so many things and others are not that prominent again. So please get into the church, get into a brotherhood and a friendship and develop there. It will help you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. How can a believer deal with generational or hereditary sickness or disease, even when they have started showing signs? How should they be tackled completely?
So it's still a matter of knowing who you are in Christ, from who you are by nature. You definitely see them. Your parents in your household, they have much kata. And you sneeze all the time than the normal woman. You know what I'm saying? And so, so you will see some of them will clear out by itself fast that I inherited, while some of them will stay there for a long time. So you're going to keep on fighting the battle of faith to know that faith has its own power and its own effect over your generational trends of sickness and all of that. And as much as faith can get you there, accept it. Sometimes it may not be taken away totally, but it should be such that it does not stop you or reduce you from achieving your goal or what God has for you in life. Like God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So somehow that grace can come so much and override that infirmity and not allow it to stop you. What God was saying to Paul was that it doesn't matter what is going on with you, you will still do what you should do. That simply said. No matter what is going on with you, you still do all you should do. That's my strength is made perfect. So it doesn't mean that you won't have that feeling anymore. It won't mean that it will not limit you. So there's a way. So there's a way. Grace can come and remove it. Grace can come and override it. You still see it there, but it's not disturbing you. It's not stopping you. Sometimes it will disturb you, but it will not stop you. Yeah. I don't know that kind of problem. But fight by faith. Don't give up. Keep releasing words towards it. Don't agree with it. Don't agree with it. You could be the last generation that will carry it. So the warfare is not only for you, it's for those on your loins also. So if you can deal with it and whatever there to, at any point, you have wrought a great victory that others can live by. So, first, I fought a good fight. When you fight by faith, you fight good. Yes, if you give up, then you actually have been fought down. Because sometimes something can fight you down and wear you down. Rest you down. You just find out that the same age of mother has that thing, you are having it. You are feeling it. I just find out in the past 1 year, I began to have scratches on my eyes, all of that. I remember that, that kind of, close to that age, my mother also had a high problem. But I'm not giving into it. I keep speaking. He went for surgery. I said, I'm not going for surgery. I kept speaking to it. I keep speaking to it. And whatever access of thing I have around me to handle it, you can't deny the blood that flows in you. But the higher blood can override it. That's why your face now is still looking like your father's face. And you do plastic surgery, it's not going to... That your nose chip is that lay. It's like that. And you look at the mirror, see, this nose will look like that. That is your picture naturally. But redemption can always do something about that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. Sir, as believers, I think respect is one of our core values. However, I observe that some brethren tend to disrespect others after they've gauged or assumed their age. They start calling after they've gauged or assumed their age.
Okay.
They start calling them by name without adding brother or sister, especially if the person's of a smaller stature. I recently met someone who seemed friendly and eager to be my friend. I was comfortable with that until he suddenly stopped adding sister to my name. I felt disrespected and somewhat withdrew from the interaction. Could you please help me determine if I'm being overly sensitive or if he was indeed being disrespectful?
Okay. Brother, sister, somewhere that could actually should be in our midst, and we're not taking away that. But sometimes people come to the level of friendship that they are close that does not really. So there's brotherhood, there's friendship. So in brotherhood, that is important that we use generally, bro, so, sister, so, and so, and so, and so. But when you get to intimate with some people, you're going to switch to your name because of intimacy. We can't remove that also. Okay? So you have to be aware that those who are your friends may not necessarily be your age mate. So don't carry your age too much. You may not marry your age mate also. Are you thinking about that? You marry someone that is older than you, someone that is younger than you. So you're going to learn to respect people not only by their age, but by their status and their office. So, I want to say that getting root shock also means that you have been programmed to that sister, brother too much. If you come from a system where that is the order, for example, and you move into a place like this one, you may have problem because we are all brethren, we are also friends at levels. And we don't tamper with that. Paul was talking to Peter, and he said, I confronted Cephas. He called him Cephas. He didn't say I confronted the apostle Cephas. So you know what I'm saying? So that level of closeness sometimes that make people talk that way. John, all of that, they talk to themselves. I think among them, Peter should be the one of the oldest. In any way, he's the only one we knew he was married. And he just didn't go to look for the age to find them. He just picked them, picked them. Uh-huh. So, please, we're going to reduce that to help you to move from brotherhood to friendship. And age may not be a problem in that place. Your friend, you can be older, you can be younger, and you feel free. But we are better when people are older than you, still find a way of respecting them. Somebody is, I'm not saying older, I'm just saying 1 year or 2 years, because we are not from the same parents. I'm saying somebody is just 5 years older than you. See what I'm saying now? He's 10 years older than you. Though it's your friend. You can't just throw away that age. You must give a body language of that respect. So that it also helps you. Because if you throw it away, there are culture systems that doesn't see it. If you are on the negative, for example, that one, you know, I know I don't care. Where they burn you? Where they cash you? Where they worry you? You're mad? You're crazy? And they are playing with you. They can tell the hold up, you're crazy. Who see you? And they won't feel insulted. But we're looking at respect and regard in the spirit. Honor is important. And so honor also, age can place honor, role can place honor, office can place honor. I think you have seen that. All those things, there are many that place honor, so it's not only one that place honor. You can be older to somebody somewhere there, where I'm in Greece, the office is above you. So there's nobody who has that place where he has nobody respect. That's why we have to learn to honor each other. Okay? So don't get into friendship and throw away honor. Jane Beleo. But you say you are friends. It's no more spiritual. There's no spiritual relationship that lacks spiritual virtues. You must have a way of regarding yourself and respecting yourself. It will make that relationship spiritual and last. Or else you will fall to the flesh. Start making discussions and all of that is fleshly. Yeah, so you must put life into it. You must put honor into it. It will also guide your interaction. You understand? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. Please, sir, I need help. I do imagine things in my mind. And this imagination has disturbed me for a while since my young age. My spirit does not feel well with it. This imagination takes me anywhere, even in church. At work, I have tried to overcome it, but it comes again.
So you do a lot. You think a lot. And so some of us have that as personality. You are more of a thinker. And when you are a thinker, imagination is one of a strong faculty of a thinking person. Okay, so you have a strength, but now you have to know how to deploy it to bring fruitful thinking, because you will think more than an average person is thinking. Where they're not thinking to, you will think beyond. So it could be an advantage, because you are going to be able to, if you take a righteous thought, you could go all the way to its depth. And also, spirit can also hijack you. So you are going to learn to, how will I call it now? To commit, to put your thoughts, put your thoughts under the Holy Ghost watch. So you are going to learn how to drop thought. It's a skill. Because sometimes thought can take you. Yes, doctor. So thought should not take you. You should take thought. That the one that take the thought, you can drop it. You are in charge. So you must learn to begin a thought and drop it. If I thought you would drop, we'll pick it again. Drop it first. It's an exercise. You take a thought, you drop it. Take a thought, you drop it. Aha. Even if it's only once, twice, you can drop it to start with, you have begun a journey. Yeah. That the more you do it, you drop it. You are going to have a skill. Because sometimes, you know, our brain has compartments. But the way they are wired, they seem to be merged. Like I was talking some last week about faculty of learning and faculty of emotions, faculty of romance, all of those. They are very close, but they are different faculties. That's why a doctor can learn, can be a gynecologist, and not bring sexual emotion to it. They are not the same exactly, but they can, the way we are, by reason of our growth, because we are lustful in our growth, they flow to themselves. Same time you talk about penis now, everything just go away, go ram, go gaga. You know what I'm saying now? And then you hear about something, your man just go, because it has not been trained to stay to stay in his lane, yes. So it's your duty in growth. That's why running does not solve. It's your duty in growth to make them stay in lane. Or else you lose lots. There are a lot of things you're supposed to learn. The emotions will not allow you to learn them, you will drop them. But learning them helps you in life. So you are not going to just use fleeing to solve your problem. You are going to switch to how to know how to flee fornication. That's one. He said you should know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and on. That's another skill entirely. Okay. So you're not going to flee all the way. Jesus, I know Jesus talked about that, but John Jesus had to flee from Satan for a long time. But the time came, he was led of the Spirit to go and face Satan. So you know what I'm saying? He said, lead us not into temptation. They are from evil. So the time he will lead us not into temptation. But the time he will lead you into temptation. He will lead you into trials. He will turn temptation to trials. But when you win trials, you gain more crown. Because the same event can be temptation, can be trial. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. The same, at the same point, the same thing can be a temptation, it can also be a trial. So if you want to make promotion, God will turn it to trial. So when you solve it, you gain crown. And your faith does not become golden if it's not tried. So it's in trying, proving it that makes it better. So there are more skill you have to learn in life. And not use escape, or else you will escape and become tiny. Your space in life will become tiny. You'll have to run from many things and your world space. Anywhere. Just go, just pass. You become like a robot. You're not enjoying good health anymore. You're not free. When the song makes you free, you are free indeed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. Please, I want to know where to give my tithes as a student who worships in school fellowship and who is committed to the message of truth in my home church here, in that I also stream meetings when I'm done at my fellowship in school. Then I'm a bit confused on where exactly to give my tithes since I'm being blessed by both places, but much more my home church. Please help me clarify this.
Okay. You can have access to Edify in 10 places. But you must have a resource house. A resource house is where you primarily feed from. Others can be supportive. So you pay your tithe to your resource house. If your fellowship is your resource house, pay it there. So there's no definite, no. Your resource house is the house that is sent with the water to give you direction in life. That determines where you are flowing to. Along the line, others can come in and help here and there and there. So that thing must be done. Like all the said, everybody must have, every human being is meant to have a resource house. That's why you are all planted by water. Every nation is defined by water. And all apostolic commissions are waters. So you must have a resource house. Then there are other places also that you also get blessed from. So you pay your tithe to your resource house. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. My question is that I'm in one unit in our church and I see that I'm not really functioning there like they would call others to function. But my own is different and I'm feeling guilty like I'm not doing enough or they don't want me and I can't leave my unit. I do attend all our meetings. I need more enlightenment about this. What should I do?
So, from what you have said there, you are not very serious with the meetings. You are not very serious in church. And nobody will commit anything to your hand when you are not serious. They can't trust you. So, first of all, show to your unit that you are serious. You are serious in being in meetings. You are serious in attending their meetings. When you are not there, you are concerned. You call to know exactly to take permission. You call to tell them why you are away. When you come back, you play your role. No leader will look from a responsible human being. They are all praying every day for more people. We are praying for more hands. So that they can look away from you, you have not shown that you are responsible. So I think what you need to do is go and put up a responsible lifestyle attitude in your group. And that will be okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. I'm a bit aware of the relationship marriage route of this assembly. I'm not wanting to fault any or make mistakes. How can I respectfully and discreetly learn about a friend's basic compatibility factors, such as genotype, age, and readiness for marriage within the church community, without implying romantic interest or overstepping boundaries?
You are not attending, sitting and waiting. So go and attend, sitting and waiting. You're fully aware of what to do. Not a bit aware. When you are a bit aware, you will misbehave. And we won't like what is going to come out of it. So you have to be fully aware. Go and register and sit and waiting and ensure you are part of the meeting completely. They will answer our question there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Does the church, Daddy and pastors, believe that this message, word of righteousness, is the same in all New Testament churches? Or do they think FMLI is different? The reason for the question is that some of us are just here for a short time, maybe for schooling or serving, and we tend to leave. In case we now go to areas where there's no FMLI branch, are we still safe going to other New Testament churches and not be disconnected?
I think from the you're asking a question. So from your own assessment, is it exactly the same? We are all churches of Jesus Christ, but we're not exactly the same in terms of our emphasis, in terms of our understanding of God's of hope, all of that. It's not the same. So if you are here for a short time, then like I always say, you have to come to a point in your life, you're on a journey in life from your childhood. You're on a journey in life, and I finished from school, I'm going home. It's natural. It's not spiritual. From school, you should ask, what's the next thing? By the reason of this, my journey. And not that I came from one church, I'm going back to one church. You are not a robot like that. You are not a robot after the order of your parents, as it were. You must have persuasion on what is the next direction. Is this the next direction? Is it where I belong? So that will determine your stay. It will be short or it will be long. Then you have to, even though you are going back to your home church that you know is not with this message, you have to have made a place your resource house. So when you are not there, you are still feeding from that place. Because if you don't feed from that place, what you think you have, you will lose it. And you won't know you have lost it. You still have a lingua. You have a feeling sense until you come back. You find out that you are far from. And that's what happened to both of our brethren. When they come back, you guys have. But in their mind, they think it's just a little. They think the distance is not, it's not much. It's not much. Where you left us 10 years ago? Even 6 months ago. So much has been done. So you have to understand that spiritually. And that's why you can be somebody that has one, a blind man that is seen bada. He will still lead men to ditch. So you can go away that way and feel like you know. But you still can't get people into life. You still can't minister there to them. So lingua is not enough. The life must be clearly manifest. And so you must have a resource house and you must to connect properly. So you are free to go to other New Testament churches. You are free. But make sure that you are making journey in life. You are not returning back because of schooling. I went to school. After school, I went back home. For a moment, no. No. The journey of your spiritual life. How is it going? You must be able to locate that When the river flows, it flows like, you know what I'm saying? No river flows straight. Have you? You trace the course of the river, a river course. So in this course of river, where are you there today? Then what should be the future of your life? That determines what is the next phase. That you went to come to school is divinely designed. It's not your parents who designed it, it's God who designed it. And the things you meet along the line there is also crucial. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. I want to ask about interpretation of prophecy. There are times when a prophecy comes in a language we understand. Mm-hmm. And when interpretation is being given, it literally says something different entirely. What can pastors say about that?
It's interpretation. It's not translation. So even though a prophecy comes in Yoruba, the interpretation in the spirit may not be that exact language Yoruba, you see. It's just a vehicle that can do stuff. The person who interprets may not even mention anything about what you heard in Yoruba. Wow. It's not translation. You think you have heard it. The spirit may have something more to say about it. So somebody gives Yoruba, say, interpret. Have you not heard what? We didn't hear what you heard. Why are we interpreting? We know the thoughts more than that. So how it is sound naturally does not mean that it's still a sound in the spirit. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. Please, sir, help me. I just hope I'm in my right frame of mind just to help a sister. I sometimes feel so secured of my body to the point that I can't even stand anyone touching me anyhow. Like I sometimes imagine, what if something goes wrong in the sense of molestation or something? My answer was that I will just pray, let the ground open and swallow me. It is not that I do not take hugs from the opposite sex or relate with them very well. I really do, but my main concern is just, I hope I will be able to open up myself to my own husband. I believe my question is understood. Mm. Please help me. I'm ready to close. I'm already close to marriage.
Yes, yes. So you are not healthy. You are sexually unhealthy. So go and read Sex and Sexuality. About sexual health. After you have read it and you have done what it says there, you still have a problem, then go and meet pastors, they will help you out. But you need to be sexually healthy. I've told, abstinence is not sexual health. It's just one of it. The way we are raised culturally, we are raised with the sense of abstinence as the only. It's not the only. And so, you are going to be reprogrammed now to be well, to be healthy. I know sometimes people pass, or where they're coming from, they are afraid of everybody. But where you're coming from, in your fellowship, in your church, in all of that, you have seen choir leader, choir member, you have seen all manner. See what I'm saying? And so you are suspicious of everybody. In fact, the poster they're taking and look like the one they told you. See what I'm saying? So you are bringing past pictures like that, blah, 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 blah. Just know that it's not that way everywhere. And that is not to say that maybe there are angels. I'm only saying that it's not that way everywhere. Even if we don't get it right, yet it's not that way everywhere. God will always have safe houses. He will always do that. So your job is to learn that. So go and read that book. It will help you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I know that this kind of question has been asked before, but maybe I don't understand or it has not yet settled. I really need clarification on it. Now, I'm someone that does activities, chores, in as much as I'm asked to do it or I see a need to. Also, I don't easily get tired, or maybe I can still continue even if I'm tired. So anytime I'm doing this, there is a thought always ringing in my heart that I'm pretending almost all the time. To an extent, I don't want to be doing stuff again. So it won't look like I'm trying to impress people. But I know I can't just be in a place and not do the necessary things. The thought of you are pretending you want to be a good girl comes all the time. I find myself questioning why I'm doing some things a lot of time. Maybe I just need more understanding about thoughts. Thank you.
All you need is good conscience. Conscience of faith. And you know, this tendency can make you mentally unstable.
Yes, yes.
If you don't solve it by faith quickly, you will start doubting yourself. Start doubting if you are there, if you are not there. And it's an open road to spirits to make you mentally unstable. Yeah. So you have to learn to use truth to adjust your conscience. To know that if a thing is struggled by truth, then it's righteousness. It's righteousness. So if you are rendering helping hand at home, doing chores, all of that. You are doing it because you know you should do it. Yes. Believe that it's acceptable. Yes. And any other voice, rebuke that voice. Reject that voice. Yes. I'm not pleasing men. I'm doing it because I believe. Yes. Answer that spirit. Yes. Very soon will leave you. If you keep quiet, you keep, because already has access to your mind. Yes, access to your mind. So don't quit quiet. Answer him and let him know that you know what you are doing. You believe God. You are answering faith demands. Having something to, the right answer to give to everything I ask you of hope. Everything I ask you of hope, it's not the human being. Speak and ask you of hope. Why are you doing this one? You're just trying to please people. I'm doing because faith demands it. I'm doing righteousness. Simple. Thank you.
Wow. I have observed over the years that during singles meeting, either marriageable, purposeful singles meeting, and any meeting that concerns singles are always live streamed. In fact, the last singles and waiting meeting was video streamed. In such meetings, married people will start claiming single. They even take front seat just to come and know or listen to what is being discussed. But when it comes to married, it is always enclosed. I understand that some things are best discussed in secret, but does it mean that everything discussed in romantic friends meeting doesn't concern singles or who are marriageable at all? In some of our sisters' ministry, they do meetings that concern married and single together, just for the marriageable single to know that they will meet in marriage.
Okay, all the our sister ministry we're talking about, they also have meetings for exclusively married people. We can have our own more regularly than they, but they also have it, okay? And they have meetings where they talk to generally to people. We also have it here. We have a couple's garden in the house. A couple's garden in the house. And when we won't have by their meeting on romantic friends, we wrote the first 2 days generally. You have not been there. Your heart is just, what is happening in that place? Curiosity. Wait, just be coming down.
Be coming down.
See, your time will come. And all your curiosity will be answered. Is that okay? Privacy is not secrecy. So it's just that that is a private arrangement. It's not a secret arrangement. And let privacy be privacy. And that will just solve the problem. For singles meeting, singleness is our project in the house. It's an estate, it's our project of the house. So fathers should be there. Yes. Children should be there. Mothers should be there. We should all be there to help together to train and see the singles evolve very well. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. I want to ask if there's a difference between people living with pastors and those living with families, not pastors. If there is, what are they? And if there are none, can those living with pastors be made to understand that they are all the same and not feel that they are better than others or so? Thank you.
So, those living with pastors are intimidating.
Threatening us.
They are using anointing to intimidate other people. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. So they have heard you now. Don't use anointing to intimidate us. We are all anointed. For every woman being wants a thing of to express as to give her as an to give you an importance. And though I can use anything. Man can use anything too, not to. So if you are living in my house, you just feel like I'm living with daddy. The same things you do in the house of In the house of Lakunles, you will do in my house. Like I was telling them on Friday, I said, sometimes before some of you came in here, you think, when I get to daddy's place, in fact, I will be looking at the throne. In fact, the revelation. In fact, revelation will just be flowing like. I said, all of you have been disappointed because. But the natural is first, right? And the spiritual will look at how you have handled natural to see how to school you spiritually. And so, that does not mean you are not growing. So all of us are the same, okay? Stop intimidating people with muzzle. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you. Yeah. All right, Pastor Fuba just whispered to my ears that there's an angle to the question.
Okay.
And that is, that it is taken for a given that those living with pastors often give excuses in their units while they may not be available to do certain things when other members of their units assume that they are a bit busier in their houses. Maybe we can address it from that space.
Okay, okay, okay. There's also, you maybe use that as an advantage to also excuse themselves from certain responsibilities in your church. Okay. Well, that is not supposed to be. That should not be. And leaders, you handle them equally. Yes. If they are not able to solve it, please meet the pastor they are living with to solve that problem. And let's see where they are hiding. Maybe that the ones that are not doing their job at the right time at home. I feel like even if I'm late to meeting, they know I'm in Pastor Dixon's house. And nobody will dare. If they see Pastor Dixon's chest, they'll be afraid. So please don't hide them. Leaders, don't hide them. Don't hide that. Talk to them and reach to the pastors involved. They will sort it out. We are not giving anybody preference. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there any line between being spiritually irresponsible and submission to authority? We have been taught that our spirit can pick impressions, perceptions, nudges, inclinations, and promptings, and by exercise and under the guidance of spiritual authority, they get sharper and more accurate. However, is it possible that one doesn't get any such promptings after years of being in our community and always have to depend on the pastors to pick directions for them? Does it not seem as a way of escape not to be accountable for outcomes that may not seem favorable after we have followed the counsel of leadership and not just the fear of missing it?
Yeah, thank you. I think I've addressed this before. Pastors don't overrule directly your spirit. They're supposed to grow. They're supposed to use your spiritual inclinations and respond to them while you subject it to leadership scrutiny. And I'm sure that the way if you meet any pastor on any matter, it will tell you what you feel about it. That's the way I raised them. That's the way they grew around us. And I know nobody would do otherwise. So be free to tell them what you feel in your heart and be willing to submit it. And that does not mean that if they have to adjust it, that you stop, respond to your impression. No, it's your duty. We always refer you back. Go and pray. And let's see what they're talking about it. And we look at it. That's the way we all learn it. And I feel that's the way it's been done in all the assemblies. And so, you can't just be irresponsible. It's not acceptable. You need to learn the two together, to be spiritually responsible and to learn to submit authority. And that solves the problem. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Daddy taught recently that growth is a process of which the pace differs for each person. He said that we could see someone yielding faster in a part and another takes time to yield in such area, and that such person should be given time. As much as every one of us should grow and hasten up, and we are being taught, can families who have people living with them be encouraged to please stop comparing the present brethren with them, with those that have lived with them, while they trust God for those currently with them to do better?
So I think it's similar to what we answered before, in terms of those who live in pastor's house. It should not be an heartbeat to always connect, refer, compare, So it's been an habit, but once in a while, also you need to know that what you are doing today, you are not the first who have done it. Others have gone through it, and that should make you brace up, not like discourage you. I think I'm saying now. If you are going to do an exam, maybe you want to do SS exam, and you are behaving in a way, in school. School will come in and said, you are not the first set here. Others have come here, they have done well. And this is the attitude they used to get it done. So they are saying, bye to the same, to get the same result. I think I'm saying that. It doesn't mean they are comparing them. Sometimes they need to sharpen you up. They need to challenge you, yes. Spoil you to do righteousness. Motivate you to do righteousness. And so, if it's not done like that all the time, it's in right spirit. I should be willing to hear that. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. Okay. Is it right for a believer to kiss her boyfriend, fiancé, before marriage, and why? Please, the question regarding the kiss needs to be addressed as it's of utmost importance.
Now. It's urgent now. Urgent now. Because somebody's asking for it. Okay, so by the marriage process of the house here, there's no space for that. Okay? There's no space for that. So, convey to each other that what we do in the house is we wait. Eh? The food you don't want to eat, you don't serve it. So, I think we have all heard now.
Yes.
And those who are in the marriage process also, and the single one waiting, we'll further instruct on that to let's know that it sits with us. Brotherly love is what we use generally till you take your wife. We don't have a space of courtship. We have a space of preparing for marriage. So you are also spending all the energy preparing for marriage, not to try to kiss. Okay? So if you kiss, you are already cutting. And we don't do courtship. Okay. Do you understand that? In courtship, you can kiss. Because it's courtship. You're heading somewhere. But we don't court. You're single. And you're in marriage preparation process. To be married. When you enter there, go ahead. Don't stop. Go ahead. Is it clear?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Please, brother, hope you will continue the kissing after the marriage.
Hope they won't be begging to kiss after marriage.
Begging you again to kiss. Good morning, Daddy and Mommy, Grandma, and all our pastors. A question was asked during the last question and answer Sunday for the year 2025.
So all these questions are year 2025. That's why we're taking this way.
Yeah.
They have stayed for too long. Okay.
The brother said a lady was his loss, and that's why he wanted to back out of the marriage process with her. This is my question. Is it bad to have preference, even though we are trusting God through prayer? Is it bad to look out for good qualities in a lady? Is loving good qualities a lust? My major emphasis here is the word lust. Will we always dislike God's will for us in marriage?
Will we always dislike God's will for us in marriage? So that thing, that last thing you put now, negate what was coming. Because you're already saying that what you like, you like good qualities you have. Well, and you're supposed to like good qualities. But what I said, that is not enough for a choice in marriage. We're not saying you should not like good qualities. You like it. Both spiritual qualities. And physical qualities, if you like it. But I want to say that is not enough for a marriage choice. Mm. That's what I say. So you still have to pray to know that this person has this quality, but is she supposed to be my wife? It can be your friend's wife. So it can be your friend, not be your wife. So, the person that will be your wife may not have all of the qualities, but it's still your wife. Is your wife this wife you also need? But your soul has a shape, has a design. That it's not everything that look good that should be good for that soul. Your kind of soul needs some area that is tough. So the compliment is not what is good here. No, it's not. So you are supposed to acknowledge what is good, appreciate what is good. And yourself, you want to look at, are you good for that good? That's why you have to pray for your wife. Shall I say now? Are you good for that good? Are you? So, appreciate it, encourage it, pray for it, then still ask God this. That's why we always say that those who have that good quality you're talking about now should not be only one person. Yeah. That you have, by the time you pick five, I'm sure they won't all have the same quality. And you are good to go with any one of them. And you have already begun to save yourself. Then, so if somebody else comes in that is not in the list, you can take it. You already have a variation. But when it is just one person, that's lost, man. That good you are saying is lost. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy.
Single slap now. Not married. Happy. Not married. Single. Oh, let me see. Maybe single guys. Because this good, many times it is guy that sees that. It's guy that has the eye for this good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. My concern is about vaccination for babies or children. With the unveiling of different agendas being achieved through vaccines and shocking diseases appearing in youngsters which were not so before, testimonies of known people around me of how vaccines change their body in form and reactions to substances allergies. I'm looking at stopping vaccines for my children. Before then, I'm here to hear the stand of the house on the issue.
Okay. At the point, we have to give an instruction on the issue of vaccine in terms of it's your choice as a parent. But we also know that it's true that I was talking with Dr. Femi over the week. When you're a doctor, you are in science world. And so they tell you in science what you believe. I also feel that they should start also looking at complaints and also issue of the new age agenda. You can't look at it from new age. All the wars in Africa is called by the new age. The one in Nigeria now is by the new age. I think you know that. That the one using Islam as instrument of what? This new age. So they are the one that is behind many of the crises you find in nations of the world. So you can't look away. That's why you can't look away from, you can't learn science and not learn warfare. Learn, when I say warfare, bow war, chemical war. You have to know warfare, spiritual war on every area. If you don't know it, you'll be imprisoned by the knowledge you have. Your chemistry, your medicine, all of it will make you, will keep you in prison. Because you won't know when the enemy is using it against you. And so, like we talk about that, the fact is, it still remains that there are still many people that are vaccinated. More people that get vaccinated and still are healthy than the complaints. So you know what I'm saying? It's like you took a road in the road, five people have accident there. But you still look at that many people pass through the place in the day. Oh wait, that. If we withdraw it, are we not going to have more results than that five? See, you know what I'm saying? And so that remains the fact that if there's no, but the vaccine is not from the same place. Vaccines are from various places in the world. Different companies in the world. And so sometimes the vaccines may not be bought from dangerous places. And there will be no problem. And sometimes that's why we need to do those in prayerfully also. Now that we know there's problem there, and you just take a step, you pray about it. So I won't advise that you withdraw your children from vaccination. But pray about it and see if you have a check in your heart. Please obey it. Obey it. If you don't have a check, go ahead. But don't let us accept that vaccination generally is all wrong or evil. It won't have done well. Because there are a lot of things that are in our environment that vaccination can do. Well, vaccination itself, when you look at it, the way our body has. Let me give you an example. All this child control contraceptives. For example, you see that the woman doesn't may not tolerate many. And somebody else will tolerate it. Because the body varies. So also many of these things, the body of human being varies. Plus it is an attenuated antigen of that organism that they process to put in the body. And to trigger antibody production. So you will see that. So the way you take, the way your body will react to that attenuated organism is not the same. It's like you say, when the children take it, they have free swilling. Body's reacting. So how their body will react is not the same. So a child can receive a thing and it can get to his brain. Anesthesia, for example, has killed many people. And some more surgeries has to be done with anesthesia. I think we are saying that kind of thing now. And so that's why we must not do that. I'm saying that we cannot look away from the complaints. Is that from the issue of the Gates Foundation? We can't look away from that. Damage it has done, the report, we have feedback, we have gone from nations. We can't look away from that. But I just say that we must not draw a blanket line to refuse vaccination. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I just joined the church as a new member. I get confused sometimes by the name I see on our social media platforms. For example, on YouTube, I sometimes see Full Manifestation of Eternal Life Embassy. On WhatsApp, I see Eternal Life Embassy. Recently, my coursemate asked, what church do I attend? I said Eternal Life Embassy. Later, I said Full Manifestation of Eternal Life Embassy. I also mentioned Full Manifestation of Eternal Life Embassy. But I told her I will get back to her. So I just want to know which of the names is best for me to mention to my friend. Eternal Life Embassy or Full Manifestation of Eternal Life Embassy?
It's the same. Full Manifestation is the full name cover. The AK is Eternal Life Embassy. Like we have a Winner's Chapel. We have a Word of Faith. I mean, I don't know. Living Faith, Living Twitter, and Winner's Chapel. So you can have all of that. So it's not looking conflicting. Eternal Life, not Embassy. Embassy is not there. It's FMLI. FMLI, then the AK is Eternal Life Embassy. And so it's straight. The two is on a signpost. Anyone you use there, but I think people can relate more with Eternal Life Embassy. Thank you.
Thank you. And for those who design, I think we've got that complaint as well that okay. They just see FMLI and the logo. So okay. They don't get to know which church is that. So okay. We should be putting Eternal Life Embassy.
Yeah, that's the commonest.
The issue of Islamic invasion bothers me as a Christian. I know Muslim exerts dominance by force that is not expected of us as Christians. The assimilation answer in our powers of the earth discussion is not very clear to me. Please, can the Christian answer to this barbaric sect be expatiated or explained better?
Is that the end of that?
That's the end. Please, can this Christian answer to this barbaric sect be expatiated or explained better?
Okay, I don't really get that question clearly. Can Christian also exert that same kind of dominance? Yes. The way we exert as dominance is much more. It's not with guns. It's not with weapons. It's spiritual, which also find expression naturally. In form of righteousness expression. That's the way we exert that dominance. The only part is that we should not also ignore the invasion of the Islamic invasion that comes with killings like this. The church is also supposed to prepare itself against such. Because it's not, we call it persecution, but it's a persecution that we understand where it's coming from. And so, it's not government, it's not the government of the land persecution, it's an infiltration into the land. And so church also can resist it. That's the part there that we're not been doing. But we will not, just like Israel today, we should not start any violence. But we should resist the violence. Yes, we should not start violence. We should not encourage violence. We should seek for peace. But when there's no answer to that constantly, we should resist it. Mass death is not martyrdom. It's genocide, yes. Mass death is not martyrdom. It's not, we're not dying for the cause of Christ by being killed massively. So maybe from the way I understand that question, that's the way I feel I can answer it. So when church grows, when church, our advancement is righteousness, and by that we assimilate, we're absorbing those that God bring our way into righteousness. And that is the way church grows. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. I have had this particular friend of mine for about 11 years now. We know each other so well, talk, share experiences, and we mostly talk about faith to each other. She isn't in the waters. I've tried inviting her for meetings. She comes, but she says she does not really understand the teachings, but she understands the teachings of our mommies. She understood faith teachings to some extent. She attends another church. Sometimes when we talk, I feel less burdened about some heart issues, and sometimes I feel encouraged and challenged to journey further in the faith. I feel more comfortable talking to her than our sisters in church. When I talk to our sisters, sometimes I don't usually have their attention. Some give me excuses that they are not available, while some don't even show interest in whatever my discussion might be. And some acted that they are perfect. And when I present my case, they judge me, and I want the spirit lifted. This breaks me a lot, so this will make me not bother to talk to them. But then to my friend of 11 years, recently I started asking myself if it's okay to continue that friendship. I don't know what to do. So I want to ask, should I keep the friendship between us, or I should let go and wait till when my sisters in the church will have my time?
Okay, don't even wait till you. Don't let the church. Have you really assimilate with the old church, not your sisters? With your church. Have you assimilated? Have you taken time to assimilate with the message itself? Because that's what we limit. Now, you may be seeking attention away from church, and they don't have your time, really speaking. Everybody's busy. I think you're saying that?
Yes.
Everybody's busy. So you are trying to get close to them. They are busy. Everybody's busy. So when we come to church, when we come for a meeting, if you really assimilate, you stay back after service and play with people at those platforms, not only for special attention. You have this, you know, you are your friend. You have this one thing. You like to put people from the general place to our. You like that our friendship, our intimacy, our that. That's what you have lived by for 11 years. And that will not make you grow. So, you are first part of the assemblies, assembly. And you should use that platform to connect, to know what we do, to grow, to enjoy the life. Then from that, you will start having, gradually learn to have acquaintance. Because now what's your friend is a friend like that one. And you won't get it overnight. See what I'm saying now? There's a way your friend from your childhood friend, there's a way you bond. There's a way you talk intimately. There's a way you have time for yourself. You are not going to, you know, friendship starts like that. So I'm going to be used to casual. Hello, sister. What are you doing? How's your work? Get somebody's number. Give a hi on his platform. How's the work today? And be content with one statement, two statements. Be fine. As you use that more, it will grow. There's nobody, you're not going to have three people still stand in church here and you say hi to three of them. Nobody will reply to you. I'm not sure. Are you that bad? Have they determined to hate you before you came in? So know that, you know, that one-on-one friendship is not kingdom friendship. You need a larger space of interaction that will open you up, that will also help you. So start that way. I want to believe that you're going to pick up with time and get more intimate friends that you are not still going to own. That's going to be for us. Every friendship cannot be your own friendship. It's our friendship among you. Say amen. Amen. Thank you very much. I don't know if that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. Marriage is honorable and a blessing from God indeed. But I observe that brethren or even elders seem to be so concerned about singles getting married that it could nearly become a song in the air of the singles. On the other hand, it seems singles, especially sisters who cross that estate, seem more esteemed than the singles. Sometimes it is even said as though some single sisters have not served enough to heap favor for marriage. I thought service is to give us nature for our building. And I've even seen many married sisters who didn't serve in that sense. How can this be handled, especially when some of these words come more from an authority or an elder?
Okay. So if it comes from an elder and it comes regularly, that could be a concern. Like I said, if it comes once in a long while, that could be a thing you should consume and look at. Because sometimes when something lands on you on the wrong side, there's a way you are hurting. You're already hurting that you're not married. And somebody is also adding insult to injury. So you understand? That's why also on our own side, we are trying to learn to also know how to know your estate and to know how to get across to you so that it doesn't eat you and become hurting or totally want to have it away from your memory. All of those things. But why I feel that if it's regular and it's affecting you, talk to another pastor or another elder who will help you to get to the other person to know that you may have to change the style of approach to this person so that we can all be whole, okay? There's no connection you have in the house here that is totally exclusive. Only that there's a method to handle it. Yes, an elder says something to you that you didn't like, and he has done it not only once, like that one. You can't, not like reporting, call somebody's elder's attention for help. Or pastors to eat. Not like you are, I don't know, you know that you are trying to report now, but you don't want to have issue with that person. And because that can also make you react. If not, a physical reaction may have to withdraw, may have to avoid that person, and that's not also safe for you. So you want someone to attend to it. That will always solve the problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. What do you think is the good age for those of us living overseas to send our children to Ondo for schooling?
It's a good question. It's a good question, and I will say that the child stage should be handled by the parents. After that, the primary school stage should be handled by the parents. If you come to secondary school, then come to Nigeria. And if they're about to finish it, they can go back. They can go back before finishing, they can go back and finish their school over there and enter university. Or if they still feel like they want to stay in Nigeria and have university, there's no problem with it. But let it not be anything earlier than secondary school. So that the children can have enough parental nurture and they can have bonding with their parents. That's important. Nobody else can supply that. Let me also encourage you that please don't living abroad, don't spoil your children with chocolate. Because when he goes to Nigeria, he won't have access to that level of chocolate. They will eat kuli kuli here. So, once in a while, when you come to Nigeria, or you ask a friend coming to Nigeria from Nigeria, orders of Nigerian matter. Let them eat Nigerian food over there. And once they also speak your language to them. So they have a sense of dual nationality. And please reduce chocolate. So chocolate is addictive. Highly addictive. And a child can feel imbalance. If you withdraw that chocolate, he can feel that your system is hostile, wicked. You know, it's like somebody who's smoking. If you take it from him, even if you give him the best food, he sees you as wicked. So you won't be able to adjust air easily. Please reduce chocolate. I beg you in the name of Jesus. And all of you here also, if you do that, reduce chocolate. It's addictive. It's not the best for their health. For girls, it's destructive to their hormonal development. The reason today for most of this hormonal water, go and check them. They are children of enlightened parents. They have the problem more. Locusts, no, they get them. When you are raised by parents who travel abroad so much or who takes you on shopping and they buy a box of chocolate for you, you will grow fast, development is fast, but it's not where the growth is not normal. It is when it comes to childbearing that you see wahala. So please, that's why I said, so anyway you are abroad, don't think people here are suffering, please. People here are preserved to an extent. Yeah, it's like when it comes to feeding. You know that one? A dry fish does not have maggot. That's boo, you see, it's maggot. So don't rejoice at that. And don't strengthen it. Yes, and ice cream. Make it occasional things. Occasional. Not normal thing that runs the week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. As a parent raising a boy age 9, I have observed consistently now that my boy touches and fondles his penis vigorously, especially when he wakes up in the morning and is not engaged. I have corrected him many times because I read on ChatGPT that children face self-exploration of their body at that age. For me, I was like, why is he not stroking his hair instead of his penis? However, I have frowned at the action anytime I see him do that. There was a day I monitored him and I saw him stroking and rubbing his penis vigorously inside his boxers. I was pained and I beat him. Now, when he wants to do that, although not every day, he will go to a room and touch the penis. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, he did not know I followed him. Mm-hmm. He did it, and I instructed him not to play with his penis, and that it's not a toy. I noticed he also does it when he is bored, not engaged in a physical activity. I'm already feeling the boy has sexual defect or masturbating. Also, he does not sleep in the room with us, neither do we watch any Nollywood around him. I feel so pained anytime I see this action and dislike him. Please, I need help.
You actually need help. The mother is the one that need help. I want to believe that he didn't start it by 9 years. He must have started this young, and all he needed was instruction of telling him, because you are talking about him touching his hair. A child doesn't see air. He doesn't know air is there. He doesn't see it. The only thing he sees is his penis that is dangling. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing that is has with the two legs that is dangling. And when he wakes up in the morning, he has a reaction there. You know what I'm saying? He didn't call for it. So, what I'm just saying is that it's supposed to be a matter of normal, healthy sexual development. And this 9 year, I'm very sure that if we trace this 9 year old, sugar is there. When you get children to have access to sugar too much, they are hyperactive and also sexually active. Sugar rush to that area. So once they're active there, they have erection, they feel like playing with it. You know what I'm saying? So the problem is not from the child alone, it's also from the parents. And that's why we're saying that. Please reduce. See, when you are going to school, you put sweet inside the pocket. It doesn't need sweet in school. You need biscuit that is not too sweetened. Give him sobo. Control sugar sobo. Not bobo. Zobo bobo. All of this is a lot of effort. But you are saving something. But when you give the child money, he goes to school and buy sweetened biscuit. Sweetened this and that one. And it makes sugar rush too much. So the child has erection on the penis. He has erection on the for the girl. He has erection on the clitoris. And when there is erection, you know it, and you touch it. So all of that. So that is the problem. So I feel that this, you can't, beating was not solve the problem. Now you afford it to, because it's getting mature. Yes. So you are still going to get across to his pastor in church, his teacher in school, to keep on talking to him on how to ignore. Already has feeling there. So you must learn how to ignore. You can't tell him he doesn't have the feeling. He knows you are not truthful. You are not sincere. So, talking, don't beat. You have already missed certain age, Wahala. Don't beat. Talking and exposing the child to playing with people, not being alone, reduce the time of him being alone. Get him engaged. Buy constructive toys or constructive machines in the house. Things that engage his mind, engage his hand, creative things, bring him to the house, all of that. Aha. When he's engaged, when he's thinking, when he's all of that, it will reduce it, and with the instruction you give, it will work, it will start creating another order of thinking pattern in the brain. You can never win it the way you can never win it. And don't kill yourself. Don't come out there. But you don't know how long the journey will go. The result can be fast. It may not be fast. If you are emotionally drained, you can't go along with the fight. You will do something irrational along the line. So, don't get tense up. You also a sinner in the way. So don't get tense up as if, where did you get this one? What happened? Don't. Anything can come from anywhere. Yeah, but your nations are plenty. It could be a Libyan. You know, Libya is the storehouse of prostitution in Africa before they move to Europe. It can be an India, it can be anywhere. So relax. Relax. When you see sin, don't rush at sin. And you have to stay back and understand it so you can put something against it to handle it. Or else sin will deal with you. You know what I'm saying? It will make you a monster. You will hate yourself. You will be angry. You will be... and you're not really... The devil is getting what he wants from the two, from the family. So the Lord will help you. So please reach your pastor and let the church know about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we give Daddy a hand this morning? Let's do that very well. You should not be doing that sitting down. The soul surgeon has touched our souls this morning. Let's appreciate Daddy. Say thank you, Daddy. We appreciate God for that wisdom and that space. We were able to go 48% of all the questions just in one go like that. That's a whole lot. Thank you, Daddy. The Lord will strengthen you in Jesus' name. Amen. Are we blessed this morning? Can we just say a word of prayer? Let's appreciate our Father this morning for the help that has come.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.